The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
How do people feel about getting Big Fitness Energy at Planet Fitness for $15 a month?
They feel as thrilled as a kid the first summer they're tall enough to ride the roller coaster. That's right. When you join Planet Fitness right now, you get access to tons of equipment and free fitness training in a clean and spacious club. Don't wait. Join the judgment-free zone today for that all-day energy. Download the free Planet Fitness app and join today for $15 a month.
Hurry. Deal ends September 12th. Join today for $15 a month.
See Home Club for details.
When I go to Sacramento, I will pump up Sacramento. Sacramento.
Turner Sparks and Sir Michael Ira Kaplan are on a quest to explore every town in America through the eyes of the scumbags, scoundrels, and world-touring comedians who grew up there. Who knows what they'll find out? This is Lost in America.
All right, everybody, welcome to Lost in America, episode 176. My name's Turner Sparks in Arlington, Virginia, is where I ended up landing, Kaplan. I'm in a bunker. I'm in a basement in Arlington, Virginia. Kaplan, go ahead.
I'm in my bedroom here in Long Island City, New York. I didn't run like you did. So I'm here. I'm standing up to the invisible enemy, fighting it on my home turf.
We're going to get into that in a minute. But on the podcast, we have Andy Curtin calling in from Hong Kong, China, or Hong, whatever you decide Hong Kong is in your head. That's what you can call it, whatever country it's related to. But anyway, Andy's calling in from Hong Kong. He is the owner of the Riff Comedy Club in Hong Kong. He and I started the Kung Fu Comedy Club together many years ago, and almost 10 years ago at this point. And they're in and out and back in and back out of quarantine. So we're going to find out all about what's going on in the quarantine situation in Hong Kong. Before all that, Kaplan, as I said, I've made my way to Arlington, Virginia. If you're not listening yet, I don't know what to tell you. The Patreon show, we're going every day, Tuesday through Friday, 4 days a week over there. Those people found out a week ago where I was, and
yeah, they knew it.
We have new subscribers
this whole time, and it's important to know where we are. You guys, your family, you should know where we are, so you should subscribe to Patreon,
especially if you're in my family. Yeah. But I want to welcome the new subscribers. Pally Lindy, one of a friend of mine from Denmark, is subscribing. We have Jerry Lim in New York City, she's on board, and Brian Stewart up there in Seattle, he's on board. So welcome all three of our new subscribers. There's gonna be more this week. Go ahead.
And Pally Lindy, I would like, you're in Denmark, I heard they're opening the schools back up there very soon, so I would like you to report, send us an email. Let us know how that's going.
Let us know, Pally.
Well, because I want to show it to the mayor or the governor. I want to get the schools open here.
Oh, okay. You want to say if it's good enough for Denmark, it's good enough.
If I can have one witness who says that, I don't know if you have kids or not. I don't know anything about you, but.
Well, I'll tell you, Pally does have kids. His wife's American, and I think they live in Cleveland, so he might not.
Oh no.
He might not have the best insight right
pulse,
now.
Finger on the pulse.
Yeah, anyway, that's that. Cap, if you guys want to subscribe, go to patreon.com/lostinamerica. We're doing live from the bunker. There'll be a link in the show notes here, and I think I'm finally getting Uncle Keith on board. My dad called me, and he's like, hey, Uncle Keith is trying to subscribe to your show. You got to help him out. And so I emailed Uncle Keith. I'm like, hey, here's the link. And he goes, yeah, I subscribed last week. But do I put it? I never put in credit card information, but I get the show. And I'm like, what? And then he's not on. I looked in the, he's not, he somehow hacked into our Patreon page.
Oh, whoa.
Unknowingly.
Who's our security guy?
A 72-year-old boomer hacked into our Patreon on accident and is somehow listening for free. So we got to get to the head.
Did you ban him? Yeah, get to the bottom of this. Don't give that tip out.
Yeah, I don't know. But, I don't know how.
In all seriousness, anybody who's a fan of this podcast, in the past, you know, we were offering you a once a week, half hour wrap-up show, whatever you want to call it. But now we're giving you multiple episodes a week. What, three, four? Extra episodes?
Four extra episodes, Cap.
Four extra episodes a week. And They're at least a half hour long. Sometimes we go longer. It's really, let's be honest, we're giving our best stuff away there.
It's the best. I mean, everyone who subscribes over there says they barely even listen to this one anymore. They say that one's so much better.
I mean, I don't listen to this one anymore. I don't listen to that one. I can't remember what we talk about in this podcast.
It's ridiculous. And what we do is even if I missed a show last week. And so we had the great Andrew Heaton, the mighty Heaton, filled in, took my spot. You and him took the reins.
We took over. We weren't going to give you back the reins, but then I realized that you do everything right here, so we need to give him back.
Yeah, so he dropped in as a guest. We have guests dropping in as well, but typically it's just Kaplan and I. We had Jennifer Miles Peake on last week.
So that's the thing. She's a Patreon. If you're a patron of ours, we might have you on as a guest.
Yeah, you never know.
If you want to, a lot of people want to have their moment in the sunshine. So
she's our fashion consultant.
And that was a great episode. Yeah, she was our fashion.
So this show is called Lost in America. Kaplan, I've been trying. How are you doing with this unemployment thing?
Before unemployment, I wanted to mention one other thing we talk about on the Patreon shows. We've been going hard after the governor, Cuomo.
Yes, our mighty governor.
We've been going after him for the basketball court staying open. And for these construction, we've been feuding with the union across the street. And we had our lawyer on one day, and he wrote an angry letter. And I wanted to report, I have breaking news, that Cuomo today shut down all construction in the neighborhood. It's all done.
Really?
It's over. Yeah. And people are complaining and want affordable housing. All the affordable housing projects are shut. All the cranes have turned off. So we won that battle. We shut down affordable housing. Yeah.
Look at us.
And I'm like one of those people who lives in San Francisco who doesn't want gentrifiers. So the price, there's always homeless because of me. I wanted to protect my view. That was my secret plan.
To gentrify, but like a real gentrifier, you don't want the person who's moving in 10 minutes after you, you want them out.
I don't care if people move in, but this building that was going up was going to block my amazing view.
Oh yeah.
And they've stopped building it, so that's going to delay for a few months, hopefully. My view stays, so I'm a big winner. Thank you to the Pod Army for your support.
Kaplan, you would rather keep people in shelters than have your view blocked in Long Island City, is what you're saying.
I've worked hard for that view.
Yes.
But speaking of working hard, I am unemployed. And,
you're not working that hard.
Yeah, so I don't even know when it was. The days really blend together. Did you know this is day 30 for us here of quarantine?
We started ours, I think, on January 12th. I mean, March 12th. What's today? March 30th? Yeah, I think it's been a month. We've been in quarantine for a month now.
We've been in 1 month exactly. That's
Holy
to the
cow.
Day. Today was the day we celebrate here in New York. And at some point in this process, I was instructing you on how to do unemployment. It was like a classic old school Lost in America. You had questions. You didn't understand it.
How to even apply for what it is. It's welfare, Cap. We're all on welfare over here.
You didn't know. You thought you were getting a special $600 thing for being a comic or something.
Yeah, I thought they had a comedian stipend.
And I walked you through the whole thing as an expert that I am, but in true form of how this podcast used to be, that Lost in America, when I give you advice, I'm the wrong person to come to. Because I don't know if you're getting your money or not. But I did not get my money from last week. I never got. Randy got, Kaplan, my wife, got her money, and I screwed it up. Did you get yours?
No, I haven't gotten a cent. And at Kaplan, it rang a little fishy to me when you said you did yours in like 30 minutes one day. Mine, I started doing it, I think, the day after you did. This is 3 weeks ago now. I'm still not done. They called me today and they're like, we just have one more question on your application. Meanwhile, my whole thing is I'm trying to get denied because the only way you can apply for my $600, my comedian dollars, my 600 bucks is if I first get denied for regular unemployment. So
right.
I've been spending the last 3 weeks trying to get them to not give me, to deny me unemployment so I can go ahead and get 600 bucks.
Because for everyone else, it's just you're getting in on top of what you're already getting. I didn't know you need to be, but that's – so in our situation, Randy and I applied. She applied, like I said, 4 in the morning. She did it the day before. But I applied that day. By night, I had filed a claim. And I didn't get a confirmation email, but she didn't get one either. And she got her money. It's in the bank account. I don't have any money in the bank account. And then when I go onto the account, it shows no claim for that past week. And it's too late now. You can't file a claim. For a week you've missed. They say you're due the money. Eventually you'll get it, but you have to call. And now I know what you mean. You call and you press every button.
Oh.
You have to follow all these different prompts, and you enter all your information in, and you you know, they go through, and it's like you have your social security number, your PIN, and they tell you about your claim history, and then it's like you've come to the end of the road. You can't get a person. You can go through
it's
it again.
It's 5 minutes. It's 5 minutes. I've counted. It's 5 minutes of robot of talking to a machine, and then when you get to the end of the 5 minutes, they tell you, sorry, the lines are all busy, and they hang up on you. Meanwhile, they could have told you that 5 minutes earlier.
That's what's so frustrating about it. Look, my whole life, I've complained about many a bill of my day. I do not let anything go, any stone go unturned. The only reason to go to work is because work is a place, an office is a place where you feel like I don't care about wasting my time calling a credit card company to dispute a charge.
Yes.
So I've been on hold with airlines, with everybody in the world. Okay. And I don't mind it. It's part of life.
The best of the best. I've kept you waiting.
There's nothing more frustrating than if you get, and even if you're on hold for an hour or 2 hours, whatever, but if you get told, they just hang up on you, and then you can't just press redial and do it again because you have to then – it's like you're defeated. You have to go through 5 minutes of prompts to get to the hang up. It's like you have no energy to do that, so I gave up.
This was 2 weeks of my life, Kaplan. This was the first 2 weeks of that, calling that number every single day until I wanted to blow my brains out. Then I contacted my assemblywoman's office. They got back to me, I think 3 days after that, and they said, oh, we're helping you. We're going to take care of it. And then magically someone called me, and now we're off and running.
So they did call you because they made a whole thing about how they're going to have people call you. But again, I'm not going to get called because I made a claim. Like I was able to file successfully already for this past week. So I'm supposedly going to get money for the 1 week, but I've been unemployed 2 weeks and that other week. And there's this whole thing that's confusing where it talks about your waiting period. Where do you know about this?
Yeah, term? But they put that out the window. That's not happening anymore. See, that's the other thing. Because of this pandemic, like half of the rules they've thrown out the window and half of them still exist. And no one knows which ones is which ones. But anyway, we're getting a little in the weeds here for our global audience.
But it's very hard to – I'm sure in the rest of the world it's much easier to collect welfare. So Americans, we have to work hard. You know, we have a hard work ethic. We'll get our welfare eventually. But I just thought it was a classic that I'm just I don't even know when. And even my nanny, I went through – I spent like 2 days helping her. I'm sure she's going to get paid before me. And I hope she gets paid, but it's who knows. If anybody can help me, if anyone has like a trick to getting through, or they know the time of day to call, please let me know because I need my money.
I don't know, man. I don't know what it is, but let's keep – okay, so speaking of the quarantine, I want to give people – because we're at a point now in this quarantine where we're – as you said, we're a month in. And after a month, we're almost becoming like seniors. Think of us as a high school, like a freshman, the first week of freshman year, then sophomore year, junior year. We're now at senior year. We're seeing the other side. I don't know if it's going to be ending soon. It might be. We might still have 6 months left. But we've now learned to exist under quarantine lifestyle. We've learned a lot as a society, as a nation, as a world, how to exist. And now I think it's time where you and I could give some advice to people for the next time there's a quarantine, right? Whether it's some other part in the world that it hasn't been. If you're in Sweden listening right now, you didn't quarantine at all. So you might need some advice.
Yeah. There are not many. Yeah, the Swedes and the
– to our good friend Roger.
Well, do we know anyone in the seven states that haven't – that are doing business as usual?
Florida? Yeah, a lot of people. I don't know.
No, Idaho, Alaska. There's a couple states that are literally not quarantined yet.
Let's give some advice to them for the next pandemic, which I'm sure is only, 6 months to a year away. I mean, there's going to be a new – they didn't close those wet markets in China. Those are still open. So something's going to be churning out of those pretty soon. I think they're going to call it COVID-20. So first tip advice. Can I go first?
Yeah.
I got a couple here. First one, here we go. For the next batch of quarantine, what you want to do for successful quarantine, have an early quarantine birthday. Number one. Because here's what you do. Remember that first week of quarantine when people go, ooh, it's my daughter's 7th birthday, and the whole neighborhood, they got in their minivans and they drove by and everybody honked the horn and the ribbons.
Yeah, like Ruby Kaplan.
Did they do that for – I don't know if they drove by your building.
They didn't drive by.
Okay. So – that only happens first week. You don't see those videos anymore. And the reason why is because every neighborhood in America has 37 7-year-old girls having their birthday, and the parents are not going to be getting in their car and driving around the neighborhood 37 times every week. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So you want to be early. And if you're not early, you change your kid's birthday. The minute the pandemic breaks out, you legally change your kid's birthday so that they can have a party birthday. Otherwise, like, no one's coming over week 5, week 6, week 7. No one cares anymore. It's over. Okay, right. That's number one.
So always shoot early for your birthdays in general, as a rule.
Well, early pandemic. Yeah.
You never know when the pandemic's going to come, so you got to, you know, you already had the party.
Okay, tip number two, get in with the science community. Find out when the next pandemic's coming, and that'll help you out with number one. Maybe take
start sleeping with Fauci. What is that? Maybe, get in with the science
community. Maybe take some trips to Wuhan if you have to. You know, go scout out, figure out where the wet markets are not so living up to, not so safe these days, and try to get on their time cycle. Okay.
Maybe you should start, you have sources there, you know, you start tips so we can make that a Patreon feature.
Maybe it's me. Maybe that, yeah, for $25 a month, you get to know when the next pandemic's going to hit.
Yeah. And as we were talking about this in like January on this podcast, we were on top of it.
We were on top of it. And also, as we said before, for $30 a month, we'll give you the cure because we have it. It's in my brother's basement right now. The cure for coronavirus is sitting here. I got one more and then we'll move on. Next tip. Here's just a tip for the next quarantine, the next pandemic. Get laid off a couple times between now and the next pandemic.
Okay.
Because you and I have been talking about this, the whole problem why you and I are having trouble, and my wife and Randy Kaplan are having trouble right now signing up and getting in the system for welfare, is because we're not already in the system. All these people who've been in welfare for years, they got their checks weeks ago because they didn't have to enter any new information. They don't have to sign any new things. It's like being the guy. Remember in school, you want to be the kid who gets detention every day or never. You don't want to be the kid who gets it once every 2 months, because then the detention teacher doesn't remember.
That was me,
are.
By the way. I got it once every 2 months. And
yeah, that's the worst. Me too.
The regular detention kids didn't give me enough. Like, they thought I was I was a poser. I wasn't a real.
Well, not only that, but the teacher kind of likes them, because even though they get detention every day,
they have a rapport. They have that
that
like 80s movie, like, you know, Breakfast Club kind of rapport.
Yeah, they're like red they've been in prison their whole life.
Yeah,
they're used to life on the inside. So that's the teacher likes them, and then they get respect that you don't. It's the same thing in unemployment. If you've been in it before, they give you respect. You get your money right away because they go, we don't have to deal. We know this person's backstory. But so this is what I'm saying. People start getting laid off now in preparation. Even if you get a job right when this thing ends, or get laid off again a couple more times so that you're in the system. You want the opposite of being arrested. You want to be in the system.
Well, I got two I was thinking of here for the future quarantines. One is, if you know, once you're in the point where there's like a chance there might be one, like we've hit quarantine season, there's like one case in China, something.
I'll let you know.
Now is when you have, exactly. Now is the time when you start scheduling all of the social engagements with like couples you don't really want to hang out with, people you don't really hang out with. But then you start doing that thing where you start to make plans. Like a few weeks in advance, let's get drinks. You finally give in to the plans that have been asked for a while.
Yes.
Knowing that it's going to get pushed and then it's going to be a Zoom thing, right?
Or nothing at all, maybe even.
Right. Well, right. Well, oh, should I flip flop my advice? Don't make any plans ever again, because then you're going to get suckered into these Zoom things. Are you pro or against these Zoom happy hours with people?
It depends on the people. We did one the other night. There was a lot of fun. I love Weber was on there, and my brother. But it was also people who had interesting stuff to talk about. A lot of these Zooms, it's like, how's it going where you are? Oh,
right. What shows are you watching?
The same where it's going where you are. And then, I don't know. There's people around town that they're doing five of these a week. I can't do one a month. So
I'm kind of fascinated by doing it with people you wouldn't normally hang out with. And I think there's some positives to it, actually. It's making us more social in a way. Like, we were hanging out with the same people all the time. And now we're mixing it up. But
see where you're going. This is good advice. You schedule these events that you know will never take place.
Exactly. And then on that note, you know, I feel like it's society, we're always hitting on the participation trophy culture.
Yeah.
But now as a parent, I'm thinking that was onto the right path. We need more of it. Like, Ruby Kaplan is not going to get a kindergarten graduation this year because kindergarten was canceled. So we just need I started feeling sorry for ourselves. I'm like, well, it'd be worse if you were like a high school kid. That'd be more depressing.
Sure.
Like a parent of a high school kid. You wait your whole life for your kid to graduate high school. So I just think instead we just need to embrace that every year it's a crapshoot. We don't know if we're finishing the year. So every single year we finish, it's a graduation. Second grade, third grade, fourth grade, because you're going to miss some of them going forward. This is just going to be the new norm.
Yeah.
Every few years you're just going to miss them. So you always have pictures. You don't know which years they'll be. Prom, have prom every year. Have a fifth grade prom. Have a seventh grade
Love
prom.
It.
Have a ninth grade prom. So just, you don't know what year it's going to happen. Then we don't have to hear anybody whining about it. It's a post-star yearbook pictures and all that stuff.
Here's the other thing, Cap. If you don't want to have a graduation, guess what? Have your prom at a wet market in China. Go do it there. Guaranteed. You be the one. You had to take control of your life. You be the one to start the next pandemic.
Yeah. Do you really feel bad for kids who miss prom, by the way? Because I only didn't go to my senior year prom and my junior year prom. I basically hated prom in general, so I'm totally cool with it.
I was in it. I don't know. There were parts of it that were fun. There were parts of it that felt like you kind of had to do it because everyone else was doing it. I don't know. I was a popular kid, so I had a fun time.
I skipped prom senior year because I got asked by a girl I didn't want to go with, but also because I didn't want to miss Bulls Blazers like game 6 or whatever. But that would have been canceled too this year too. So it'd be a double, you know.
Well, I famously said this multiple times on our podcast, but the Kings, the only good era of Sacramento Kings basketball coincided exactly with my high school years. So every year prom at the whole city, we would watch Kings play Lakers playoff games at prom, like girls, boys, everybody, they would have it on the screens, and then the first hour of prom would just be standing there in prom dresses and boutonnieres watching a Kings game, and then the game went into 10 p.m. and then everyone would dance till midnight and you go home. So that was like the best of all worlds. You got to watch everything with your friends,
and some guy swoops in while you're watching the game and steals your girl, and you call him Mr. Big Shot Bob or something in honor of. But
so that's it. Should we get to? Do you have any more? Or should we get to our guest?
Let's, I don't know, let's call him up.
Let's call Hong Kong.
Connection is a healthy and essential aspect of our daily lives. From a warm hug after a hard day to kind words just when we need them, these gentle moments give us an understanding of life's true meaning. But when the ability to connect is interrupted by the hustle of daily life and to-do lists pile up next to the worry of who needs school supplies, sometimes making decisions about our health and the well-being of our loved ones can take a back seat. When it comes to those we care for, vaccines are one of the greatest public health success stories, and along with other measures, are one way to help prevent certain diseases. At Merck, we envision communities where families, healthcare providers, local organizations, and advocates work together. Health equity happens when every person, regardless of age and ethnicity, in every community, has fair access to healthcare, including the vaccines they need. For more information, please visit whyvaccines.com.
All right, everybody, we're back with Andy Curtin on the line. Andy calling in from Hong Kong. How's it going over there, buddy?
We're still standing.
That's good.
Here you go. That's the first battle.
That's step one. That's what Cuomo said today. He said step one for us is to start standing.
To start standing. We're not starting yet. We didn't start standing yet.
The step one is to think about standing.
Step one is to crawl. To what is the thing that babies do before they crawl? When they're I forgot, but you know, then you get on your knees, then you stand up.
You gotta roll over before you can crawl.
That's what we're trying to do right now. Roll. Well, that's what our mayor, De Blasio, tells us. Just roll over. Just take it.
He's a big roll over.
I think the old roll over strategy hasn't played too well so far.
Not for Billy D. No, not for Mayor Billy De Blasio. So, Hong Kong is. Are you guys? Because you guys seem to be in quarantine, out of quarantine, and then sometimes it's open, and then sometimes it's like 300 new cases today. But all of a sudden, the next time you guys got it taken care of. What's the history of what's happened over the past month or two there?
Well, I mean, we've never had 300 cases. The most daily we've ever had was 80, and I think the second most was like 60. It's been very low, and that was a pretty short period of time. So we had it really early on. I mean, like, we are part of China. Legally, I'm required to say that.
Yeah, good for you. There you go. You passed the test.
I just want to keep that residence. It came in early, but like Hong Kong people, they were ready. Like they've been through this with SARS. So there was, I feel like in the West, there was like this process of being like, yeah, is this something we need to worry about? Here they were like, oh yeah, we know Like when the government said jump, they were like, we jumped 5 minutes ago.
Yeah.
And so whilst they had early cases, it didn't take hold much at all. And you know, people put masks on, social distancing happened straight away. They shut down the schools. And it was pretty normal. Actually, bars and stuff were still running.
What time frame? Is this January, February? When did it start?
This is like mid-January, early January. Talking about early January.
Oh, so you guys knew when we didn't know about it then. So
Well, you knew by then that we had it.
Kaplan,
but
we knew.
You didn't think you were going to get hit by it.
As we've been saying, right, well, Kaplan, at your birthday, which was, I mean, your heart attack birthday, which was like January 15th.
That was January 27th.
That's okay, we knew about it for weeks before that. So we knew about it when everyone else knew about it, as Andy's saying. We just didn't do anything. We didn't think there's this American imperialism idea where you don't think anything's going to hit you. You're like, oh, that's happening in the other side of the world. That'll never come to us.
Well, in early January, we didn't even know it was contagious yet for person to person. You know, they weren't talking about that in America. So
yeah, I mean, in fairness to you guys, it had not taken hold anywhere over like in the West really until I think Feb. So in early Feb, basically they didn't, no one knew that it was going to take hold. Like I was in Australia. So the comedy club, like, cause we're Live Nation, they just panicked and they shut down the comedy club before anything really shut down.
Live Nation, the owner of the club.
Comedy club in Hong Kong. Yeah. They're just like, they don't want the risk. They don't want to have their brand.
They shut down. When did they shut down? In January?
Yeah, so we'd been delayed for 3 months because of the protests in Hong Kong. And we finally opened the venue, I think it was like January 7th.
The protests, forgot about that.
yeah. So we were just coming out of the protests. We were like, you know, we've all been marching, not personally, but they've been marching out in the streets. And now they're like, yeah, don't go near each other. You'll sneeze on each other and kill each other. So it's been a fun run for Hong Kong.
And then you open
so
up
had
for
two
like a
weekends,
week, right? Oh, two. Sorry, go ahead.
Two weekends. And then in January 14, they were like, yeah, it's too much. Shut it down. I think it was maybe January 16 after the weekend. So from that point, I just happened to be in Australia because I had some family stuff. And with the club shut down, I was like, yeah, I might just hang out in Australia. That seemed pretty safe and see how it goes. Ended up staying for 7 weeks. And then after 7 weeks, that was the point where I was like, Australia's definitely less safe than Hong Kong. And we just kind of tried back.
And they were letting you back in at that point.
Yeah. Well, it was only pretty recent that they blocked all non-permanent residents.
So what happened when, cause I know like Jorge was out here, who's at the club in Shanghai, but he was out here in New York or Virginia or something, staying with family. And then like basically a bunch of people were leaving, the area, East Asia, I guess. Yeah. Expats to go home to Australia, United States, Canada, wherever. And then around early March, when it started getting bad out here, everyone went back to Hong Kong. What, and at that point, it seemed like Hong Kong had taken care of it. As far as I'm understanding with the news, you can correct me if I'm wrong. And then did it explode again when all these expats came back to Hong Kong? Or not explode, but you know what I'm saying.
Yeah, well, so that's why I'm saying like it made sense that people weren't taking that seriously in America, because really it was only about that point when people were like, oh, shit, this is a huge thing in the West. And so the mistake that Hong Kong and Singapore made was they basically left the door open by allowing anyone to fly in. And so what that meant was that when Hong Kong and Singapore looked worse than the rest of the world, no one wanted to fly in. But as soon as the scales tipped, suddenly just people were like flooding back. And so what happened was right after I came in, which was like, oh, I think probably late Feb.
Yeah, they shouldn't have let you back in, to be honest.
Yeah, well, we got in just before they mandated quarantines. So what that meant was like right after we came in, if you landed, they gave you a wristband and you had to stay inside your house. Mm. And if you got caught like on your thing at beep, they'd come and smack you up real good.
Electronic wristband?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Like you're on
it was a friendship bracelet and a promise. Yeah, it was a fucking electric.
Well, they wouldn't even go.
You can't get the scissors in and cut off from like a
like from Bonnaroo or like Lollapalooza. Or
well,
something.
You know, a couple of rabid French dudes got busted chewing off their bracelets. So
really.
Yeah. No, seriously, that's a serious statement.
So wait, so it's like a state, like a home arrest, or what do they call that?
House arrest.
House arrest bracelet.
So it beeps if you. Yeah, so you guys had house arrest bracelets on for a couple of weeks.
Thankfully, as a non-felon, I don't know what they're actually called.
Yeah,
but we beat it. We got it just before they needed it. So and we took it pretty, you know, because there are kids and stuff. So we took it pretty easy on going outside, but we didn't get hooked up with a bracelet.
Kaplan, what would they do? What do you think we should do that here? Give people house arrest bracelets to stay home?
I mean, they would have to probably change the constitution or something to make that happen. But it would work. It'd be amazing. Like if you could follow along the way, you could follow your family, like, or, you know, find my phone app kind of thing.
Yes.
Where you can then maybe they should do it that way, where you have to link up with a bunch of your friends or family. So I could see if somebody I know is violating it.
You're right. That's such a good point. We have
them or something.
We have to find my phone app already. So people are voluntarily doing that. No, people are voluntarily doing that thing where you can watch your kids, watch your family, like where they go all day.
Maybe instead of arresting the people, though, it's like a dog with the electric fence thing. We could just send a shock.
That would be good.
And then people, you got them getting shocked.
You know what you would find too? You would find those, like, I bet, Kaplan, as you talk about a bunch of those Long Island City tattletale, the narc, like housewives, ladies. I bet you half of them are breaking quarantine, but they just don't want anyone knowing about it.
Well,
you,
they're breaking quarantine to catch people breaking quarantine. That's the irony. So yeah.
Did you see there was a bunch of douchebags that flew in by private jet to Paris from London, I think, to go down to their villa? Oh, no, it wasn't in Paris. It was in like the south of France, to go to their villa, and they got turned back at the airport. They're like, get the fuck out of here.
I did see that. I guess that, listen, it affects everybody, Andy. Not just the poor or whatever. That's what they keep telling us.
Not just you big comedians.
Not just the big comedians. Although I will say, in America, it does not affect everyone equally. It affects, this virus is specifically attacking Democratic voters. And it's like the coastal elite cities are all getting nailed. And then the middle of America is like, seems to be fine.
Well, it's coming for Florida next. So we'll see about that.
But who is it in those cities though? Isn't it predominantly still the old people?
In the United States, it's not. It's I think it maybe the old people are the ones dying, but there's people going to the emergency room and being on ventilators who are in their 30s and 40s pretty consistently in the U.S.
Yeah, I've got a buddy whose brother works somewhere in California in a hospital, and he said everyone in he's a dietitian in the hospital. He said everyone in the ward was like under 60.
Yeah, that's so. The couple things they told us in America. Is that, first of all, don't worry about it. Even the, you know, so like Trump was saying it doesn't exist. It's a hoax to try to not let me get reelected. But even the other side was, who I don't even know who the other side is. It was like Bernie and Biden. Like, I don't even know who that represents.
But, well, I don't know Biden, but like.
But the other side was saying it's, you don't worry too much. It is real, but it only affects people over 65. And there was all this other stuff, like hold your breath for 10 seconds. And if you can do that, you don't have it. There was like crazy. It was apparently some Japanese doctor that everyone was sending around this email. So, and everyone was just like, well, they've probably had it. No one even looked up to see if like Japan and China were different countries. People were just like, well, if China had it, then Japan knows about it. So that's probably right.
There was something they were sitting around where it was like, just drink lots of water and you'll be fine. There's all sorts of,
drink water. And the other one was don't wear a mask. Specifically, they were telling us do not wear a mask. It makes it worse, which that makes
sense.
Well,
they were saying it doesn't do anything and it's taking masks away from people who need them kind of thing, like in the hospital.
And they were saying it makes you touch your face more. So like touch your face more if you have a mask. So were they telling people in Hong Kong not to wear a mask too? Just like our scientists?
Well, you know what's interesting is there's a huge rivalry between Hong Kong and Singapore about everything, right? And particularly because they were having a similar experience, there was a rivalry about how low they could keep it. But in Hong Kong, they were telling people not to wear – sorry, in Singapore, they were telling people not to wear masks. And no one was wearing masks. masks. And in Hong Kong, people just did because that's what they do. And Hong Kong's now doing great, single digit new cases, and probably going to have it completely under control soon. Singapore, not great.
Oh, really? What are the, I haven't checked Singapore recently. Are they exploding?
Singapore's spiraling out of control.
Oh, wow.
Singapore has another problem though that Hong Kong doesn't have, is it's built on slavery. And they're little labor camps.
We wouldn't know anything about that.
We're in America, don't know anything. I don't know. It's horrible. Build a country on slavery.
I was talking to a mate from Singapore today, and he was like, yeah, but we need it because, like, how could we afford to build things? And I was like, I don't know. You might have to have an economy like other countries.
Hey, that's a rough take.
But this is true, dude. Yeah. What? So they've got in the northeast of Singapore, in the island, they've got these labor camps of, like, you know, workers that have flown in and paid nothing. And it's running rampant through that community.
Where they currently have slavery?
We're breaking news here on the podcast.
I thought it was built like 100 years ago.
I thought we were talking about.
Oh, no. They're there now. They're what? Still there.
What?
From where? Where are these people from? Is this a Jimmy Schubert hot take?
I don't know exactly.
They're backpackers. Where,
I'm more familiar with the similar setup they have in Dubai, but I assume it's like, you know, Indonesians, and probably look it up, but. Yeah, no, they've got what they do is they bring in these people, they force them into horrible living conditions, and that's how they build their infrastructure.
Like, they promise them some great job, they take their passport when they get there, and then they throw them to some island and give them coronavirus and tell them to sort it out.
You nailed it.
Something like
that's
that.
It.
Yeah.
No, that's exactly it.
No, that's actually it. Not even a joke.
So, Andy, what happens? The club, the comedy, the Riff, when you guys. Because I know you also reopened, what is this, like a few weeks ago for a weekend. Is that correct? Or two weekends?
So the timing of it was that when I came back, things were okay. They actually opened before I came back. And we ran a few weekends. But right before they introduced the measures of keeping people with the wristbands in, all of these people flew in from like France and London, where it was starting to take hold. And they just went out. And at that point, Hong Kong was like normal Hong Kong, not fully normal, pretty normal. And they just went out and partied. And all of these popular bar strips just got smashed with new cases. Mm.
And now is there a French, you know, like in Shanghai, there was a French bar street. So that would be fine with me because I didn't really like that bar street that much anyway. And then it keeps them all in the same neighborhood. But are they partying just all over the whole city?
So there was one girl, they published her like 2 days before being diagnosed, and she'd gone the first night, she'd gone to five different nightclubs and then ended up at a kebab store at 5 a.m.
I like this girl, my kind of girl.
Someone goes, she sounds like a selfish bitch, but probably lots of fun to hang out with.
Yeah. I mean, how many people did she make out with in between all that?
Apparently about 40, because that's how many people were violently ill afterwards.
Oh, my gosh. And she was coughing the whole way through?
Yeah, I guess you don't know. There's people sneezing when you're in a nightclub. But, yeah, she was all over them.
And at that
droplets
point,
out all over the dance floor.
Andy, at that point, did they have...
Go ahead. Spam on the other phone. I found it.
Andy, at that point, did they have a quarantine going on? Like, did they have this 14-day thing set up, or you said they did not? For all these people
for people that arrived, you know, there was no expectation to isolate. It was a really low risk at that point. And then if you had the case, they would handle you. And if you'd been exposed to someone that had a case, then, you know, I think you were expected to isolate for 2 weeks. But, you know, the cases were so low that it didn't require them to do too much. And people were handling it themselves. You know, people were social distancing. I mean, they take that pretty seriously. You know, they don't muck around.
Has that caused any backlash against foreigners? Like, so every once in a while, there's some news story about that in the U.S. Like, oh, in Asia, they don't like. Well, there's the one about McDonald's and black people where the McDonald's.
Well, you know what the difference is?
Yeah, go ahead.
You know what the key difference is, though, is that in mainland China, you've got the government that is fueling all this hatred against foreigners. And in Hong Kong, you don't have that. And so there's a surprisingly, there's a very limited animosity against foreigners here, even through that.
And Hong Kong's got their own policies. It's different than China with how to correct and how to come out.
Yeah.
Coronavirus. Yeah. So it's just, I was reading somewhere where Hong Kong's numbers were like totally skewed much higher because China's not probably reporting accurately, but Hong Kong's are reporting the real numbers, correct? Like you think.
Yeah. Well, the thing is that like the hospitals here are populated with either Western doctors or Western trained doctors, you know, you're going to get, the government can't control the information here like it can in the mainland.
Right.
Like in the mainland, they can, you know, you start saying the wrong thing, you'll disappear. Whereas Hong Kong, that doesn't happen so much.
That's good.
I'm sure it was a little bit. Well, they did kidnap a bunch of bookstores owners that were selling books about the I don't know how political I can.
I mean, listen, that happens, Kaplan. That happens here. Have you followed the Clintons' career? Come on,
jeez.
What do you think?
Oh wow, wow. Here we go.
Bring in some hate mail, people.
Cap,
in Hong Kong, though, were they successful at all in keeping the capacities? Because I know they did a thing where there was like 50% in bars when they reopened. Is that what it was?
You know what? It seems stupid when they released it, but I think there's a logic to it. So basically, like, so at the moment, they've basically punished the bars and said, all right, no bars can sell booze for now. But the restaurants are open, and at the restaurants, you're required to have 1.5 meters between each table and not more than four people can sit at the table, which you go, oh, that's pretty stupid. But when you go into the restaurants, they're all spread out now. And you're like, yeah, that's actually pretty good. Actually does kind of make sense.
Yeah. You don't have to have these big group meals where you all have to split the check anymore.
Oh, that's great.
You don't have to invite all your kids if you have more than two. You'd be like, why don't you guys stay home?
Reason to tell your friend not to invite his annoying girlfriend.
Exactly. We can't. There's a lot of
this is a dream come true for me because I stopped as someone who doesn't drink alcohol currently and hasn't for the past 6 months. This idea where we go out to dinner and then everyone gets five cocktails and then I have to split the bill with all you. I got to pay like $40.
Yeah,
extra.
It's great now. Now people don't have to invite you. It's great.
Perfect.
I mean,
this is my dream come true.
There was a little restaurant. Yeah. There was a little place in New York City called Chopsin's that the guy who ran it was kind of like a restaurant Nazi kind of guy where he had all these crazy rules. And if you didn't follow him, he'd kick you out of his restaurant. And one of them was he would not allow more than four people at a table. And people got so annoyed at him. The guy's ahead of his time. We don't need that many people mixing. We don't need to go back to that ever. It's like handshakes. It's over.
Handshakes are done in America. Yeah. They announced the other day.
Community dining done.
Food. What about comedy clubs? Are they going to reopen comedy clubs but only let people sit at like every third table so everyone just bombs? It's like all half full comedy clubs across the world.
Yeah.
The answer?
I don't know. I think that by the time people are able to go out in groups in the US, they'll have a better solution.
Well, go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, you know, they're starting to talk about like if they can identify who's immune, they give them some sort of certification and those people are able to go out have it on hand. Yeah.
That's like
it's not. It's like a friendship band.
Yeah, yeah.
You're friends with the virus.
Well, this would be, it is going to be interesting to see how that works. Like, it's almost you're creating like two classes of citizens. It's a reverse caste system where the people who are sickly and have gotten the virus are rewarded. And then those are the people allowed to go out. And if you haven't had it yet, you just have to sit around and wait till you get it so you can go out, right? I mean,
The only problem I have about that is you're implying that the poor people are the diseased ones in India or.
Yeah.
that's the caste.
Is that not true?
Isn't that how it works?
Well, I don't think I'm willing to put I don't think I can put my career on that line just yet.
Mm. What career? In India.
Yeah. Good point.
Live Nation should be commended, by the way. If they were running our government, we would be back to work by now. They just, like, shut it down immediately. Shut everything down.
So what's up? What happened with the club then when you guys, because I'm really interested in this because I think whatever you guys saw, and I'm talking about like the reaction of the audience when you guys reopened a few weeks ago, because at some point these clubs in America are going to reopen and I'm not 100% sure if people are even going to, and bars and restaurants and all that. And no one's really sure if people are going to go out to these clubs or they're going to be like, nah, we don't want to be around crowds anymore. We're going to stay away. What's your experience? What's happened when you guys?
Okay. So three things I'd point out. First thing is the shows that we ran were some of the best shows I've ever run. They were busy and people were very hungry to laugh. People just want to be out. People are sick of being in their houses. They're going crazy. They just want to be out. They want to be able to go back to normal. And last weekend or the weekend before at Yellow Mountain in China, I don't know if I sent you the photos, but they had more people on Yellow Mountain than you would get at Chinese New Year.
I saw that.
Absolutely packed. As soon as people think that they can go out in public again, mate, the caution goes straight to the wind. They want to go back in crowds and they want to be around people. So not everyone, but people, it gets busy really quickly. So that's like the first thing. The second thing is that in China, now that things are opening up, people are spending money. They're spending money on travel, domestically, obviously, and also just on luxury goods. They're treating themselves. So I think that it bounces back a lot faster than you realize. And another thing to consider is that this is, I'm talking in some generalizations, right? But like, it's a little bit different from an economic bubble bursting, because when that happens, there's like a repricing of whatever was mispriced. But this is just things stopping because people can't go outside. But when they can go outside, it can come back again really quickly.
I guess the one question I would have is, because all that totally makes sense in terms of like a human emotion point of view. But in America, 10% of our workforce has filed for unemployment in the past 3 weeks. So our people have lost their jobs. In Hong Kong, was it the same? Have a lot of people lost their work?
And companies have got, well, Hong Kong's not a great example because, well, and then in other ways it is actually, because we were getting hit in F&B for months before this. F&B's been suffering since September last year.
Because of the protests.
So, yeah. And dude, it's crazy. I went on a list the other day because we're going out for brunch. It was like top 10 brunches in Hong Kong. Five of them had shut down. And they were like obviously the good ones. They were successful businesses.
Wow. You hear that, white women? Don't go to Hong Kong.
Yeah.
Brunch is over.
I love where your Hong Kong's going. You can't have group meals and you can't have brunch.
I'll right up Kaplan's alley.
You can still find drunk girls at kebab stands at 5 a.m. Everything's great about this place. I designed your city. because Hong Kong's very densely, I imagine it's very similar to New York City, dense wise normally.
Oh, mate. New York is an open field compared to Hong Kong.
That's why I'm stunned by how I'm stunned at the numbers and how few cases there were, because you guys also have really good testing.
And you have subways just like New York.
Mong Kok is the densest place on earth. It actually is. And so, it's just crazy how busy some of the parts of the city are. But, you know, people were ready for it. They didn't have this ridiculous point of view where it's like, oh, I have personal freedoms. They're like, no, I want to live.
Right. I imagine if we go through it again, at least in the next in a same generation, we're going to be more prepared the next time around, I would hope. But.
Yeah, you know what? Like, realistically, you could have a pandemic that wipes out 50% of the population. Like, that's totally possible. So if this wipes out even half a percentage point, like, obviously that'd be tragic, but it might be the impetus to like start going, all right, maybe we should take it seriously when people start sneezing on each other.
Cap, do you think people are going to take the next one seriously? I'm not so sure.
I think they will, because they're not going to want to go through this again. Even if they don't believe even if they believe the rules were stupid, they're going to want to avoid having to do them again. So they're going to take it more seriously in the beginning.
But what do you think about the people who are going to say, because this summer, if we only hit like 40, 50,000 deaths is so much. But if that's what we hit, it's still going to be a lower number than the flu and all these, like, it's not as bad as the flu people.
That's such stupid logic, though.
I agree.
No one did it. Yeah.
I know, but these people are going to be like, see, I told you it's not as bad as the flu.
Yeah.
Well, although we never quarantined for 2 months because of the flu. So
wish we. Maybe we'll start doing that, and then I won't have to work again. All winter will be off.
That'd be great.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know what I think the difference might be is that, like, you can look at the death count, but you can also look at the number of people that are, like, pretty badly affected by this because they got very sick and can't get to a hospital or anything like that.
Yeah.
And if you expand that number out, suddenly there's a lot of people that know someone that had either died or had a terrible experience during it.
Right, especially if you're in New York City, unfortunately, or in some of the hot spots. I think there's people – I mean, my brother was saying – he's in New Jersey, and he's saying that people in his neighborhood are already bitching and moaning about how it's not as bad as exactly what you just said, Turner, and they want to get back to work.
Of course. So that's happening across the United States right now.
It's going to be a rural – it's going to be like – we already had this big problem in America where, like, people in cities hate people in the rural and vice versa, and now it's only going to get worse.
It's going to get worse. There was this whole idea when it first started that this pandemic was going to bring America together because we're all going through it together. It's the exact opposite.
9/11 brought us together for a second because that was like an attack, but this is not as obvious. So.
No, and also it's not hitting.
Yeah.
It's hitting certain places and not other places. So a lot of people still probably do think it's fake.
Fake news.
I think you're underestimating how bad it's going to hit some rural areas because it doesn't have to hit a rural area that bad. For like the hospitals to get completely wrecked, you know. Did you see Pandemic, that Netflix documentary?
I haven't.
No.
Sometimes you've got like one hospital that's like for the whole region.
That is true. I know what you're saying. Yeah, smaller places will have, like, if they get five cases, they don't have five ventilators in the whole town.
Bingo.
Yeah.
In fact, she was saying in this thing, she says if there's a problem across the country, we're not going to get any help. Like, yes. We won't get any extra.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's going to be... Well, we don't want that to happen, but probably...
So what do you think,
I'm
Andy?
Sure, mate. 100% that's happening right now. Like, I couldn't tell you where, but it's definitely happening somewhere in the U.S. Look at the numbers, dude.
Yeah. So what do you think, Andy, is... is there any idea of... Hong Kong's just going into... You guys are just going into quarantine right now? Is that even what you're calling it, or what is it? What's the situation now?
No, it's not quarantine, mate. We're good. Like, we can go out. We can go wherever we want. I can go to work if I want. I just don't like going to work, you know?
So you didn't have, like, a second... It's not actually another quarantine.
So are you guys opening the club, or are you not allowed to do that?
I thought it was similar to...
What the current situation is that bars cannot sell booze. And,
that's a horrible situation.
Kaplan's out.
That's not my you almost had me with all your other great proposals, but that
No one's going out for a big bender on the soda water.
Is it BYOB? Can you bring your own booze to a club or no?
Nah, they can't open if they only sell booze. So if they're a restaurant with a bar, they can open the restaurant area. Mm. So you cannot fly into the country if you're a non-permanent resident. And if you fly in, you get tested. If you fly in, everyone that lands gets tested.
Andy, can mainland Chinese people go?
No, but they couldn't before. So no, I'm just kidding.
Whoa. Wait, they can't go, but it's their own country. I thought.
No, they can't. They can't come in. No,
really?
Not allowed.
Seriously. You're joking.
They can't. No, they cannot. They're not permanent residents. They can't come in.
Wow. Okay. So that's how they get around it. Permanent residents cannot go in. Okay. Interesting. And I don't know. I think that's it. Should we? So is the club opening then, but not selling alcohol, or is it closed? The comedy club?
No, because the other, there's also restrictions on entertainment places. And also, like, the problem for us is that we're in Lan Kwai Fong. If you know Hong Kong, that is like party central. And that was where all these foreigners went, and they were super loose, and lots of people were going out in crowds, and it got hit in the media, both English and local language, that area was problematic and people weren't taking it seriously. And so it wasn't great to be running in that area at that time. Like, it looked pretty bad to try and be, you know, getting crowds in at that time. the numbers are so low now. I think that, like, we've had less than 10 new cases in the last 2 days. So I think pretty soon they'll open the bars back up. But they'll keep the travel ban.
And I know in mainland China, they're doing the thing, like they have the app, the green color, the red color that you, and then also a lot of restaurants or a lot of private businesses, I guess, are checking people's temperatures as they come in the door. Is anything like that happening in Hong Kong?
Oh yeah, absolutely. We do that. We've got the temp. And Garen made a good point. He's like, why does it have to be a gun? Like,
yeah, just to show you who's in charge, who's boss.
Yeah.
So you guys check everyone's temperature as they come in the door.
Oh, dude, we check their temperature. Like, before we shut, we checked their temperature. We made them sign a declaration that they hadn't been outside of Hong Kong in the last 2 weeks, and we make them sanitize their hands.
Great. I would like that to happen in New York.
Yeah, I mean, once you get used to it, it makes you look, you feel more comfortable walking into a venue. You walk
That's
in,
what I was
like,
thinking.
Hey, everyone here is...
You have hand sanitizer on every table?
We don't, but there's enough around. Like, if you want it, you can get it straight away.
I would like that. Every table, I think that's what I'm thinking, because I perform at all these country clubs. I would almost, I think that would be a great thing for private clubs to do. Well, first of all, private clubs I think are going to be safer because there's also, I mean, maybe not, but there is that idea that you don't want to be the one to infect everyone at the club you go to every week. But I think having the temperature check and all that stuff is a great idea for places you can contain like that, you know?
Mate, there's half of it is just showing everyone that it's a safe place to be.
Yeah.
You know, like I went out around that time and I walked into a bar that was just like an Irish pub that wasn't doing anything. First guy, someone I didn't know, got way too close to me, and I instantly was like, and even though there weren't a lot of cases at that point, I was like, I don't feel comfortable here. This feels like these people are not taking enough care. Whereas like venues where you do a scan, you want, you know, everyone sanitizing their hands, you walk in, go, yeah, okay. It's not, you can't just roll in here popping a 40 degree fever or whatever the fuck you say in Fahrenheit.
45. Yeah.
A 40-degree fever, it'd be
100. Must be like 100 or something.
102.
Yeah, 40-degree fever.
I knew what you're saying. You're 45. Saying that we're doing everything we can. Like, this is as safe as you can possibly be and still have fun.
Yeah, you're taking some serious measures to lower the probability of there being a problem.
Well, thanks, Andy. We're running out of time here, but thank you. This has been great to have you on, and good to know you guys are doing well. And hopefully it all comes back soon. Kaplan, we got to get into the news. Yeah. Andy, thanks for doing it. Anything we missed here? Anything we left out?
Yeah, I mean, I think we got it all. But like the main thing is, my view is when it turns around, it's going to come back faster than I think people are thinking.
That's good news.
From what I've seen in mainland China and Hong Kong is that like when things start to get better, after people start to feel more comfortable, they are so keen to get out back to normal life.
I guess one more question, Andy. What about?
Trump's going to like to hear that.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if you can talk about this, and if not, we can cut it out. But what about like live events that you put on, like the big kind of stadium type stuff?
I mean, for now, you know, we just can't run it. No one's been running big stadium stuff since shutdowns, so no one knows really. But. Yeah. If you can run 200, you can run 1,000, you know, once it's getting safe.
I totally agree. That's what didn't make sense to me in America. When they started shutting stuff down, they were like, well, there's no events over 1,000 people allowed in California. It's like, well, what, am I not going to get it from 1,000 people? You know?
Yeah, but mate, there's a very big difference between it running rampant through 1,000 and it running rampant through 10,000. Like, it's just a wildly different proposition.
I guess so. Yeah.
Intimate venues.
Well, that's it. Well, hopefully everything clears up soon, Andy. Thank you. And at some point I got to come. I was supposed to come in July, so I think that's not happening to come
probably off.
That might be a little bold. That might be a little ambitious.
They won't let me in the country. So whenever I'm allowed back, I'll be out there.
All right. Take care, guys. Keep in touch, all right?
All right. Thanks, Andy.
Keep it up. Yeah. Stay safe.
All right, bye. Cap. Let's get to the news. news story of the week. Wait, first of all, Kaplan, we got to talk. Andy, breaking news. Should we start with his news that there's slavery in Singapore?
Yeah, we're going to have to do more investigative reporting. This pod's going to take a new turn and become an investigative. I mean, what's the media been doing all these years?
We're going to be like the new 60 Minutes.
That's why Singapore threw out the whole caning thing. That threw us off the track. We just make jokes about the caning every time. Nobody digs a little deeper.
Yeah, exactly.
At least there are problems.
Yeah, actual slavery. We got to modern day.
I guess what he was saying, it was like the way I think you said the thing about Doha or something, like sort of like that. I assume it means actual servitude of people who like were building the World Cup site and dropping dead left and right.
Yeah, what they do is they bring them in from another country. They take their passports and then they tell them, like, now you can't leave. You have to work.
Yeah, here. They do pay them probably, but they don't pay them a lot. And we'll get more. We'll dig deeper once they let us into the country.
That's a good. Yeah, that's a good way to. All right, Cap. First news story of the week comes to us from the Miami Herald. Ooh, my old paper down in South Florida.
Speaking of hard hitting journalism,
Florida governor deems pro wrestling essential business amid statewide stay at home order. Cap, what do you think about this?
I mean, I think this is smart politics because wrestling people are very upset they're not working. People are very upset they don't have sports. There's a lot of, they don't understand what's going on. And then you got to give them something to comfort them.
I'm for this.
You can't watch old wrestling because we know what happens. And it's not, the process is, you got to watch new wrestling. Wrestling's, it's like a storyline. It's like a TV show. So we need
The other thing is, if you just polled these wrestlers, I think 100% of them would want to be wrestling right now. Yeah. I don't think you can find a wrestler who's, I bet you all these wrestlers think it's fake anyway.
And also a lot of them could drop dead from like steroids or whatever. They're used to putting the life in their hands. They don't mind taking a little more gamble.
Great point. And these guys could be gone at any moment. CTE, the coronavirus, coronavirus is the least of their issues.
But it's like people act like, I mean, it's not a real sport, right? We all understand it's not real. So it's just like any other TV show that is, you want to binge, you want to watch your Netflix. So you want to watch your wrestling. People don't, not everyone has Netflix or all these other things.
Well, the only difference between this and the new episode of I can't even name it. What's a show on that's right now? Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt. The only difference between this and that is that these guys are exchanging fluids, I think, pretty constantly.
But I am looking for things to do with my kids. And I think Teddy's never watched wrestling and maybe it's time for him to get into it because he needs some sort of sport inside he can play. That seems like a good sport. Or do a little.
Yeah, definitely.
I think the governor's on. I think the governor's showing great leadership here.
I do too. Let's maybe get him a presidential run. I'm not sure what side of the aisle he's on. I can guess which side of the aisle he's on, but I'm not 100% sure. Yes. Story number two is from BuzzFeed. Kaplan, Justin Timberlake says that 24-hour parenting is not human.
This is the most, I mean, a lot of people on the internet are mad about him, are mad at this or ripping him because they're saying it's like kind of sexist, their classist thing where he's not a rich guy. He's not used to parenting. All normal parents do parent 24 hours a day. That's nonsense. This is a star who's just like us. And I appreciate finally, because it isn't human. And it makes me feel better in this crisis that Justin Timberlake is as miserable as I am, maybe.
Well, so, Kaplan, you might find yourself, because you have a nanny, which you boast about quite regularly on the podcast.
Yeah, and I don't have her now. She's on the unemployment line.
So now you're doing 24-hour parenting. Is that right? Is 24-hour parenting a new term? Isn't that just mean parenting?
I think it's Justin Timberlake doesn't know about bedtimes, even worse than me. So his kids stay up and party at night. I don't know. They're up all night. What does that mean, 24 hours?
Well, I do get that, that you're a parent 24 hours a day. You're not, but he's kind of like a 1 hour, I would say probably a month parent, I'm guessing, because he's on the road.
I mean,
it's not his fault. I'm saying he's out on tour. He's got to entertain the masses. He's got to entertain the people.
How many kids does he even have?
This is like Kaplan. Every famous person, you find it, you go, everyone loved Tom Hanks. Everyone loved Estelle Getty. And then you talk to their kids and they go, Tom Hanks was for the people, but he could have been a little bit more for the kids. That's what his kids are. Hey, a little more time for us and a little less. That's what I imagine Timberlake is. He's got to go out there and go live on the road, so it's not his fault.
His wife is Jessica Biel. I didn't know this. And then he only has one child. I just looked this up. He has one child. I'm back. No.
He's not. Wait, what?
One child is not. He's one kid. That's not 24-hour parenting. That's like That's a breeze in the park.
That's
child.
Almost that's nothing. Like that's only one more kid than I have, and I'm doing fine.
Yeah. I mean, and he's got a. I imagine his house is so big that he doesn't even know where that one kid is half the day. You can easily hide in recording studio. I can't watch TV. I can't do anything without. It's harder for me to record this podcast. Oh, and I'm flip flopping. This is the worst thing he could have ever said. He could have said. He could have said he was in favor of Singapore slavery, and I'd be more.
He might be. Yeah. We haven't asked him yet.
Yeah, get him.
I'm sure he's best friends with like the king of Singapore or whatever they have, the prime minister. Right. So I'm sure he's like, oh, no comment. I'm sure he gives the.
He's opening up those barbecue restaurants of his in Singapore.
The LeBron James line. I need to study more. I need to find out more about the situation before I comment.
Yeah, are they studying more on the black people not being allowed at McDonald's?
Yeah, they need to ask LeBron about that. All right, last story of the week. The Miami Herald. We're back to Miami. Hialeah.
We're back. This is the new New York Post of this podcast.
They're pretty great. I love the Herald. Hialeah, yeah. Florida police chief orders haircuts for cops at a local shop. What's happening down there in South Florida, Kaplan, is haircuts, barbershops were deemed non-essential. Right.
So wrestling is essential. Haircuts are not.
Haircuts
are
not. Yeah. But the chief of police of Hialeah, Florida, had different plans because he said what is essential is that his cops, when they go out on their beats, they look good. They got to keep it high and tight. They need flat tops. How do you even know if it's a cop if they don't have a flat top?
Exactly.
And a perfectly trimmed mustache, you know?
Yeah.
So he's got Tony's Barberia, which is a barbershop down in Hialeah. Shout out to them. He's specifically deemed that one place as allowed to stay open, but only to serve the cops of Hialeah, Florida. I'm for it.
I mean, I think this is smart. I would like to figure out a way for a New York. I know some New York police. So I need to figure out a way to get a haircut at some point because my Jufro is going to start getting out of control. And I kind of think my barbershop, those guys, they do a lot of I feel like the police chiefs go there and stuff. So maybe they're going to open up at, you know, night or some sort of, maybe they like an illegal hour to open up at to cut the cops' hairs, or they do come to their homes, house calls.
Can a barber do a house call? Speakeasy barbershops.
Speakeasy barbershops is a great idea.
Yeah.
Like if you're you don't want to have contact. That's the only thing. But you know, like in Marriage Story, when Scarlett Johansson could cut hair, like if you're someone at home who can cut hair, you're very valuable now. So everybody should be, you know,
I think it operates like a real speakeasy, but you have to go in through the bar, which is not open.
Right.
And then you go through the back door of the bar. You knock twice, you say high and tight or whatever the code might be. And then they let you in and there's a guy back there cutting beer. They're serving whiskey. There's a jazz band playing, you know, there's cops, there's mobsters. Everybody's back there hanging out, getting their haircut. I wouldn't be surprised. This must already be happening. I don't think there's places in New York City where I'm sure this is already exists.
I mean, I know my barbershop, the Woke Dad in my neighborhood, has a lot of problems with the problematic language that gets spoken at my barbershop. So if anyone's doing it, it's these guys. I got to figure out a way to know the code, though. I haven't been invited if they are.
Well, we need to figure it out because I'm desperate. I'm about to ask. My brother's wife, Anna Sparks, is offered to cut my hair in the backyard. And I'm like, you're not a barber. She goes, I know, but I watched a YouTube video once.
Oh, my God. Yeah. I mean, I can't even imagine. I should try. No, Randy would allow me to have someone do that, but not to the kids. The kids need to have their good looks.
Well, she already cut. She goes, look, I cut Tyler's hair. I cut Ben's hair. But I'm going to tell you, their hair looks like it's a mixture of a lawnmower and those like kindergarten scissors, the ones that don't really cut. They just mash things around. And so that's my other option is to get Gary Sparks, Beatles, Oasis haircut, just let it keep growing, you know? So those are my two, I'm at a crossroads here.
And you believe me, and the police officers can't show up with an Oasis haircut or
no, I won't even, I'll ask them to start playing a tune.
If you're breaking the quarantine and you're not dispersing and the cop comes into, you know, your bracelet, they're just going to be like, screw you. You're not a police officer. You're a slob.
You're the bass player from Oasis because no one knows what the Gallaghers. Yeah, but no one knows what the other guys look like.
That's a great reference.
All right,
I actually always wanted to look like a guy in Oasis, so maybe
this is your chance, Cap. That's the podcast. Andy Curtin, thank you for doing it, everybody. We're going to be back tomorrow. Actually, it's tonight at this point because
I don't even
out,
know when we're recording. Should we just keep rolling?
Coming out Tuesday morning, so we will put one out tonight, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, 5 days a week. Go over to patreon.com/lostinamerica and to Uncle Keith, if it hasn't charged you yet, then, and if you're not not getting episodes through, that you're not subscribed. That's what that because he's
that's basic rule of podcasting. If you can't hear it, you're not subscribed.
Basic rule. If you didn't pay for it, you're not getting it. Unless
if you didn't pay for it, exactly. I forgot about it. That was so long ago we said that. It seems like days ago.
Unless somehow he's figured out how to hack into our into Patreon, which would be a whole other business model. That
the world's he's the world's youngest Zoomer then because he's figured out
a world's like oldest Zoomer.
World's oldest Zoomer. Yes.
Uncle Keith, world's oldest Zoomer. That's it, Cap. That's the podcast. Thank you, Andy Curtin. Cap, what should we do?
Let's get lost.
Get lost, America.
How do people feel about getting Big Fitness Energy at Planet Fitness for $15 a month? They feel as thrilled as a kid the first summer they're tall enough to ride the roller coaster. That's right. When you join Planet Fitness right now, you get access to tons of equipment and free fitness training in a clean and spacious club. Don't wait. Join the judgment-free zone today for that all-day energy. Download the free Planet Fitness app and join today for $15 a month.
Hurry. Deal ends September 12th. Join today for $15 a month.
See Home Club for details.